نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربي زدني علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. We begin with the word-to-word translation of Surah Al-Fatiha, Ayah 5-7. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اهدنا. You guide us. الصراط. The path. The way. Al. The mustaqim, the one straight. Swirata, path, way. Alladhina, of those who. An'amta, you blessed, you favored. Alayhim, upon them. Ghayri, other than. Al, the, those who. Al-maghdubi, those who earned anger. Or those who earned wrath. Alayhim, upon them. Alay, upon him, them. Wa, and. La, not. Ad-dallin, those who are misguided, gone astray. The translation. O Allah, guide us to the right way, the way of those whom you have favored, not of those who have earned your anger or your wrath, nor of those who have lost the way. Now to the tafsir. Ihdina, give us guidance. This is the type of guidance, ihdina, that is given with softness and kindness of speech. There is a lot of depth in this word, ihdina. When someone asks for guidance, we can reply to them kindly, or we can talk to them very bluntly, very briskly, very coldly. So if someone asks us, where is this? You can say, go there. It's over there. Go and get it. Or go, sit over there. Okay? That's one way of speaking. Then there is the speech that is filled with giving guidance, kindly, with mercy. This is ihdina. Here again, you hear ihdina. Na means us. Us or we, the plural. Ya Allah, show us, all of us, the right path. The mu'min is a beautiful person. The one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, this person isn't a selfish person. This person is not the type to say, oh Allah, just guide me and only me, and who cares about the rest of the people? Let them go to Jahannam, who cares? No. This person says, ihdina, give us all guidance. This shows the beauty of the mu'min's heart. This heart yearns and desires and wants that all of us become guided. Not just for me, but for everyone. We are the type of people, subhanAllah, we don't even know how to make dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is teaching us how to ask. Why should we ask for everyone? Because that is how we will get guided too. We will become guided in this way. If we try to walk on this road alone, we will become exhausted. We may become lost. So ihdina, it shows a lot of mercy. Right? Ihdina is filled with mercy. Show us guidance, Ya Allah. We can guide someone with harshness and rudeness, sure. We can guide someone by slapping them in the face. We can get an understanding of something by becoming slapped in the face or beaten by somebody. We will understand still. Someone can make us understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists, about Islam, by slapping us through it. We can be slapped into it. But when the days are good, and we were laughing, and everything was fine. We forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and someone slapped us. The hard times rained down. We got up, we straightened ourselves, we understood, all of a sudden that really, yes, Allah exists, and only he exists. There has to be a God. I can only obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I understood the reality of people. I was running back and forth around them, and I got nothing in return. We suddenly, through that hardship, realize that people aren't worth it. People don't deserve it. This is why, look at what they've done to me. Look at what they've done. This is what we understood when the slap came down across our cheek. We say, Ya Allah, ihdina, don't let us get our senses slapped into us. Right? We ask for that merciful, kind guidance. Ya Allah, let us learn the lesson the easy way. Show us the right path with hidayah, with softness of hidayah, with softness, with kindness, with mercy. Do we understand the difference? And many of us learn this the hard way, that when the going gets rough and the ups and downs come around, that's when the sense gets knocked into us. That's when we understand the right path. We learn a lot through hard times, but how did we learn it? Is this the way we want to learn it? Why did it have to take so much for us to get there? Alhamdulillah, Ustada says, you got there, but it took so much to get there. When the hard test came, when the mountains crashed down upon us, that's when we become guided. We say, no, Ya Allah, ihdina. Don't let us learn about the right path like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us to ask for guidance, for hidayah. If we go to a new place and we don't know about that place, we hire a guide. This person takes us on a tour and shows us around. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that we can't guide ourselves in this life, in this dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that we won't be able to walk straight. So we need a guide. We might slip. In this dunya, human beings cannot find their own path. They need somebody to guide them. And aside from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there cannot be anyone to do this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us to ask for guidance. So in ihdina, there is another thing. There may be two types of guidance. The first is when we ask somebody, what is the path to school? And this person says, okay, you know, head forward this way, then turn right, then turn left, whatever it is. And the other way of guidance is that when we ask someone the way to school, and this person says, okay, let's go together. I'll get into your car and I'll take you there and we will go and, you know, I'll guide you myself. So which of these types of guidance are we asking of Allah? The second one, right? Personalized guidance, full support, fully helping and guiding us, taking us there, making us walk there, making us reach there. Be with us, Ya Allah. This is what we are saying in Ihdina. Help us reach the destination. Don't let us get lost on the way. We don't have guidance. Show us directions. We don't know when we will slip or get lost on the path, or we may get stuck on the path. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us moving until we get to the destination. So Ihdina is guidance. But to what? What guidance do we want to wear? What are we asking for with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here? Where do we want to go? We are asking guidance to what? To wear? To sirat al-mustaqim. Next part of the ayah. Ya Allah, guide us to sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat is the path. So guide us to the right path. The word path has many different words in Arabic. Okay, so the word itself, path, in Arabic has many different words. There is the word sabil, tariq. Sabil means a little street. Tariq is a road. What is sirat? Sirat is a highway. What is a highway like? It is straight, it is broad, it is open, it is not tight, it is not narrow or twisted. And it is a sirat that is mustaqim, so it's straight. Mustaqim comes from the word qayyim, to establish. Qiyam comes from this as well. When you know qiyam, you must have heard this, qiyam al-layl, when you standing up at night. So this means the highway that is straight, but this is interesting, that it is heading upward, and it is climbing upward. So is climbing this sirat upward easy or hard? It is hard. But we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. Before anything, we have already asked for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. Ya Allah, make us walk this path. And when we are asking this, Really, first we asked for company, right, before. Now we are asking for His mercy and kindness along this path and ease along this path. Make us walk and make us climb and make us to get to the end. Sirat al-Mustaqim is a straight path. It is not bumpy, it is not hilly or filled with, you know, any bumps or potholes or anything like that. It is wide, open, and no winding, no twisting in it. It is not a path of confusion. If someone wants to walk this path, then they can, because this path is truly wide open. This is why if there are any non-Muslims and they have sincerity in their heart and they have the right intention and seek this path, they can come onto this path. They can also acquire this path and have it. It is wide open. It is not narrow. But to climb it, we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. So we say, Ya Allah, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, please, Ya Allah, guide us on this path. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Ya Allah, guide us on this path. Wherever there is a straight line, there is a starting point and there is an end point. What is the starting point here? The starting point of this is the dunya. And the end is jannah. So we have to keep this in mind that we say this so many times. We have to make an effort to be conscious of it too. We don't say any other words or any other kalimat this many times in the way we do of these words, right? We keep saying them over and over. In every salah, there is nothing else that we repeat so much. A point of hikmah to wonder is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us to ask this. This is the verse that follows. إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. This is the verse that follows, إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. So after we said that you alone we ask for help, this is what we have to ask for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did say to us, He didn't say to ask for Jannah or money or children or something else. Even though these are things that we do ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. In this verse rather, He said, guide us to the right path. So this indicates to us that this is something really, really important. It must be really important because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us to ask this so many times. So it must be important. But what is it that is so important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to ask for? That thing is hidayah. Hidayah for sirat al-mustaqim. Because the one who takes the path of sirat al-mustaqim is the one who will reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who loses this path will not reach Allah. So what is this sirat? There are numerous opinions by the Mufassirin as to what exactly the sirat al-mustaqim is. This is the sirat which is the Deen al-Haq, that this is Islam, that it is the Book of Allah, that it is the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. All of these things have been mentioned. So Allah's path, the Deen's path, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's path, in essence, all of these are one of the other. Right? Quran's path, Sahaba's path, these are all one path. Sirat here, it is important to note and very interesting to note that the word sirat is not plural. Sabeen has a plural, subul. But the word sirat has no plural. SubhanAllah. Why doesn't it have a plural? Why? Because there is only one path. You will often hear people say that all paths are fine, every religion is fine. At the end of the day, we all worship the same God. We are all the same. The path of the Christians is fine. The path of the Hindus is fine. The path of, you know, they worship idols, but at the end of the day, they still worship one God. However, we cannot say that they are on the right path. It is fitrah, the natural disposition, that people are forced to speak in that manner. Okay, no one can say that idols, the actual idol, made the skies and the earth. They have to say one God in the end. But that doesn't mean that the path that they are following is the haq. It is not right to say that everybody is fine, that everyone is right, everyone is searching for God. People say it is not okay for us to say that these other people are wrong. They say it's not okay for us to say that their path is wrong. But why shouldn't we say that their path is wrong? Because as-sirat al-mustaqim is one. Right? Sirat al-mustaqim is one. This is important because people can become really messed up if they don't get this right. Someone who became really confused made up this concept that the Kaaba has four corners, so four different paths are right that lead up to it. You know, this isn't right. Sirat al-Mustaqim is only one. Why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that there are four Sirat al-Mustaqims, or eight Sirat al-Mustaqims, or ten, or whichever way you come to me, they're all fine, it's right, okay? Another person came to Ustaz and said, it's like a mountain, and you know, you climb the mountain from all different sides, and ultimately you reach the top of the mountain. The goal is to reach the peak. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't ask us here in this ayah to follow any other path or all of these paths. Now we have to walk on Sirat al-Mustaqim. There is a hadith that proves this. Okay, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the Jews were divided into 71 or 72 sects, and the Christians were divided as well. My nation will divide into 73 sects. All will be in hellfire except one. So we learn here that there is only one path, only one. There aren't multiple paths. Ya Allah, guide us to that one path. It is a time of great fitna that we live in, because everyone has their own claims. We have the internet, and we have the entire world, and the entire world population sitting here. And everyone has their own things that they are saying with their voices. It's like a jungle filled with sounds and voices. Someone is calling you one way, another one is calling you another way, someone else is calling you to something else. And the chances of getting lost are very high, extremely high. Everyone has their own logic. Everyone has their own reasoning. And we listen to one person and we become impressed. How amazing do people speak? We love the way they speak, their style, their words. They touch the heart. We become consumed with the beauty of their speech. And another one sounds just as good. And another one. So many fitnas. But not everyone can be right. There is only one way to the truth. We have to accept only the truth. So how will we know which is the truth? There is so much confusion. Some people might say, oh, you know, this is just too confusing. How will I know? How should I know? How can I continue like this? This is a huge problem. Ustafa says, it's not a problem. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us about the path and all about the path. We have been given the details already. So it's not necessary for you to listen to every single voice out there, not everything we hear on the internet or that we search up on Google or with a random Google search. It teaches us what ibadah is or what Islam is or what the right path is. You know. So random searching won't show us the right path. The Prophet ﷺ didn't teach us about random searches. He told us instead, after me, I'm leaving behind two things. If you hold on to them, you won't be misguided. And that is the Sirat al-Mustaqim. And what were those two things? Quran and Sunnah. Every other path other than this takes us away from Quran. Every other path moves away from the Quran and then moves away from Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are people who say, you know what, but my imam says this. Even though they hear what the Prophet ﷺ has said, there are people who will blindly follow their imam. Right? Taqleed. We are only going to follow our imam. Yeah, maybe there's a hadith. Who cares? Let it be. Whatever. Yeah, it might be there. But we are going to follow our imam, regardless of anything. They become defensive. Doesn't our imam know? Doesn't our imam understand? Do you think you understand more than our imam? Do you think you understand more than him? If we hold on to Quran and Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, then this is Sirat al-Mustaqim. Oh Allah, help us walk this path. Before we continue, we will discuss one more topic. We say Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Who else read these verses? So we read it. So we say Sirat al-Mustaqim. But who else did? The Prophet ﷺ. The Sahaba and everyone who followed after them. So did the Prophet ﷺ need hidayah? Did the Sahaba need it? Right? No, they were already guided. So here we learn that hidayah has different meanings. So they were already guided. For those who already had guidance, they are not asking for the acquisition of hidayah the way someone else might, in the sense that, you know, as though they were on the wrong path, so that they are requesting to acquire hidayah. They're not saying this. What is the meaning then? For them, for those who have hidayah, whether they are the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the Sahaba or the Awliya of Allah, when they are saying it, those who are already on the right path, what hidayah do they need when they already have it? There are two meanings. Okay, what they are really saying, first of all, so there's two, we're covering the first one now. What they are really saying is, ثَبِّتْنَا عَلَى الْهُدَى. Keep us strong upon guidance. So keep us firm on the guidance. Keep us steadfast upon the hidayah that they already have. Ya Allah, you have given us hidayah, but Ya Allah, please do not take it away from us. Ya Allah, do not let it slip. Do not let us slip. There's the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ drew a straight line. And he said, هَذَا صِرَاطَ اللَّهِ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. This is the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, straight. And he drew lines branching off from that line. So imagine one major line, and connected to this vertical line are diagonal and horizontal lines branching off. And he said, these are all paths of misguidance. The Sirat al-Mustaqim was the straight line, and all of these many, many lines, it's like what we see on the highway. There are so many exits that branch off. The main highway is one, but there are many exits that branch off from the highway. If we get off the wrong exit, and then what will happen? We will face a huge problem, because those are paths of misguidance. Even today, we have people who can misguide us. On the internet, there are so many different philosophies and ways of thinking and ways of viewing the world, and all of these different voices prompting us, all sorts of misconceptions. Someone is saying, you know, there's no such thing as a God. Someone else is saying, you know, questioning the marriages of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, questioning the age of Aisha radiallahu anha, misconceptions, confusions, doubts about Islam. These are people, subhanAllah, they don't start attacking Islam. They don't start with the attack straight away. First, they start with doubt. They bring up small misguidances, and they simply question them. They're not even critiquing or criticizing. They might not even question it. It might simply be a mention. Look at this that your Islam has. First they mention, then they slowly draw that person away and away and away from Islam, and then they openly mock Islam. There are all sorts of people out there. There are hadith rejectors. They say the hadith were written later, so we don't accept them. There is a hadith in Musnad Ahmad. It's truly beautiful. Musnad Ahmad, it's in Tirmidhi and Nasi. It's a little bit long, and I'll read it slowly. Listen carefully, inshallah. Allah has set an example. A sirat, a straight path, that is surrounded by two walls on both sides, with several open doors within the walls covered with curtains. There is a caller on the gate of the Sirat who heralds, O people, stay on the path and do not deviate from it. Meanwhile, a caller from above the path is also warning any person who wants to open any of these doors, saying, Woe unto you, do not open it, for if you open it, you will pass through. The straight path is Islam. The two walls are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's set limits, while the doors resemble what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. The corner on the gate of the Sirat is the Book of Allah, while the corner above the Sirat is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's admonishment in the heart of every Muslim. So the doors are like exits. Sometimes people become curious and they just want to move the curtain. You know, we'll just take a look. Let's just see what's there. Let's just read a little bit of this. Let's just listen to that song. Let's just, you know, just a little. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from falling down that path and then protect us from keeping on falling and becoming lost. There are on highways, often if we take one exit on the highway, we can't find a sign back to the highway, it becomes impossible to get back onto the highway, doesn't it? We keep watching the signs and we keep watching and looking and searching, but it is simply impossible to get back. If we go to a new location and just step off the highway just for a short while, maybe just to purchase something, often it becomes a very difficult task to get back onto the highway. The further you go down the exit, the more lost you become. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade us from this. The straight path is Islam. The two walls are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's set limits, while the doors resemble what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. The caller on the gate of the Sirat is the Book of Allah, while the caller above the Sirat is the admonishment in the heart of every Muslim. What does that mean? So there is a caller within us. It's called the Zamir. The Zamir is the conscience. And that is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed within us to guide us. There are many people waiting to misguide us. There are shayateen out there. There are people affected by shayateen. There are misguided sects. But whenever they make dua, we make dua, we say, Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep us steadfast. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until our last breath, keep us steadfast. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us a dua. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا. Oh Allah, don't let our hearts deviate after you have guided us. The Sahaba, they used to be so scared. Right, they used to be so worried about this. So imagine there's a path that is going upward. It's like an uphill road. And the higher the climb, the more the fear sets in. The person begins to think, Ya Allah, I'm afraid to fall. The higher they go, the more the fear. If we look at Iblis, he went so far, he went so high, he reached so high. Then, from that height, he fell. And then he became mal'oon, humiliated, disgraced. So with us, we never know about ourselves. It doesn't take long for the heart to turn. There are so many great people, and all of a sudden, things change. Mirza Qadiani is an example. He was completely normal. He was fine until he ended up claiming prophethood. When someone slips and they keep on slipping, they can't even find a place to grasp. If we think we are okay today and now, it doesn't mean that we can relax and not worry that we will be okay. You know, we will be okay. It will be all right. No. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you hidayah, then you need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep it firm. We keep asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep it steadfast until our death, and even at the time of death. At the time of death, shaitan whispers to the person and makes the person slip. He tries. The person might fall into confusion and doubts, all sorts of devilish thoughts about, you know, is Islam right or not, you know, the requirements of Islam, the existence of God, all sorts of whispers and, you know, shaitan starts coming up. It's all shaitan. So we mentioned that there were two types of hidayah for the people who were already guided. Now to the second meaning. When people who are guided ask for an increase in guidance, the second meaning is when guided people ask, really they are asking for an increase in guidance. They are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it more. This is what they are asking. We have learnt that iman increases and decreases. When we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our iman, so our iman increases when we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba are asking, they are wanting their hidayah to increase. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treasures are tremendous. There's so much to ask for. There are many stages of hidayah to increase. at this time, we are talking, you know, taking and talking so much and taking so much time to learn just the basics. At this moment, we are still at the preschool level when it comes to seeking knowledge. We are still like preschoolers in terms of with what we are studying right now. SubhanAllah, those people who are truly seeking knowledge at that higher level, they keep going. They keep asking and they keep going and they keep increasing in everything. They aqidah, akhlaq, speech and mannerisms, etiquettes of salah, etiquettes of Quran. We need hidayah for everything, for the straight path. It's not just for one specific thing, right? It is broad. It is open. We are saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, show me the right way in everything, in every phase of our lives. How to behave when we are happy and during good times, how to behave during grief and difficult times, how we should dress, how we should cover, how we should walk in this life, how to do our business, our work, in everything. Ya Allah, fix everything for me. Now that we have asked for the Sirat al-Mustaqim, it's possible still to become confused and wonder if we even are on the right path or not. Am I on the right path or not? So how can we define the right path? How do we know? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has defined it for us in the upcoming verses. What the Sirat al-Mustaqim is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it easy for us. So there is a definition and there is detail. Everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done. Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim. Sirat, the path. Al-Ladina, of those. An'amta, those who you have bestowed your favours upon. The path of those whom you have given favours. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want these people's paths. Here, it doesn't say Islam's path or Jannah's path, the path that takes us to Jannah. It would have been simple if this was written here. But no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned something else. An'amta alayhim. Because Allah, firstly, wants to honour those people who deserved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favours and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rewards. The path that those people travelled. Allah mentioned that path. Because these are people who earned the rewards. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a tremendous honour to them because of this path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to ask for that path that those people tread. It is an honour for those people because they did it. They did it. They walked on the right path and this is why they were rewarded. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us to ask for that same path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us the path of the ones He loves. This is a huge honour and respect for those people and an elevation of those people. An'amta alayhim. Upon those people. Right? Alayhim. On those people. SubhanAllah. There is also a consolidation here. For those people. There is also a consolation for those people who are an'amta alayhim. What is the consolation? The first is that they have passed away. Okay? An'amta is also showing us that this was already done. Right? It's done. It's past tense. So their reward has already been given. So now whoever wants to walk on this path should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has loved these people so much. Allah loves the people who walked on this path. And we also have to walk on this path. So it is a consolation because this path is really difficult. So people can become weak. They can lose hope. They might think, oh, I can't make it. You know, how will I do it? I can't do it. Can I walk on this path or not? There will be struggles on this path. There will be family and friends who will become an obstacle on this path. They will come along and say, what have you done to yourself? What have you become? You've become extreme. You know, what is all this? Let it go. Give up. Like, what are you doing? So we can't lose hope. We cannot stop striving. We have to look at the image that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has presented here for us. We should look ahead, far ahead, and be able to see those people. We should be able to see and visualize that as though it's a long road and there are some people we can see far ahead of us. Beautiful people, amazingly dressed, amazing people walking along like kings and queens. We should look at them and be thinking, wow, I want to be like that. I want to be like those people. I want to be a king. I want to be a queen. This is the path of kings and queens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us. Look at those people. Look at all the blessings and rewards and everything that I have given them. Look at their kingdoms. Excuse me. Look at their kingdoms. And if you were to follow them, you would also become like them. Today, in this dunya and in this world, what do people do? They look up to people. And they look up to others. They look up to some celebrity, some influencer, and they try to follow them. They're influenced by their example. Some influencers may be really beautiful. So there is, you know, some product that made her look young, something she used. So, you know, you have people looking up to her, and they'll go and buy the same product. That's what they do, right? For those people who want a reward from Allah, for you and I, our role models, who should they be? They should be the people who were rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we want the reward, if that's what we want, right? And this path is hard. There will be struggles and obstacles on this path. And for this reason, there will be very few people on this path. Even though this path is open, it's here for anyone to take it. It is broad, and there are going to be so few people who will take it. It is a highway. Anyone can take it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls you openly towards it. It is not a restricted path. It is not like a small alleyway or some narrow street. Everyone can sit on this road. It is huge. Imam Ibn Qayyim, he says, grab hold of the path of haq, the path of truth, and do not be afraid of the small numbers of the people who follow the haq. So we shouldn't look at the small numbers of people who believe that all other people are heading in another direction. We shouldn't be worried about that. Sometimes people become deluded to think that, oh, you know, because there is a large crowd headed that way, you know, in the other direction, then maybe they should head that way too. No. The people in this lane have always been few in numbers. People of falsehood, people who will be destroyed, people like that, we shouldn't look at that. People who have left the Sirat al-Mustaqim and gone off somewhere else, we shouldn't be impressed by their numbers. They will always be large in numbers. In another hadith, an ustaza says, this is her most favorite hadith. Islam began as something strange. Right? People used to say, what is this new thing that you have brought? This is how people used to talk. What is the new religion that you have brought? New ways of life? What is this? The Prophet ﷺ said that a time will come that Islam will return to being the way it was in the beginning. In this way, people will begin to say, you know, what is this new thing that you've brought? As though, you know, you never knew about anything about Islam before. But Islam has had these things for so long, right? It is so amazing how people are saying the same thing that they said in the beginning. What is this new thing that you have brought? Today, at this time, this hadith has come true. What did the Prophet ﷺ say? That is the hadith, فَتُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَى. Glad tidings to the strangers, good news to the strangers. Right? Islam was something strange. It began as something strange, and it will revert to being something strange. So glad tidings to the strangers. That is the hadith. So the few people who will be strange, they will be weird, they won't fit in, but you know what? They don't care. They won't be scared. It won't make a difference to them. They'll just keep going no matter what anybody says. People are going to say all sorts of things to them. People will criticize them. They will, you know, to us, people will talk about us. They will talk about you. They will laugh at you. People will mock you. But you have to keep going. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the support of an'amta alayhim. So who are the An'am? An'am? Forgive me, sisters. My Ayn and Alif just get mixed. So who are the An'amta alayhim? Are they some special people? Yes, they are some special people. And to find out about them, you need to go to Surah An-Nisa. Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 69. Who are the An'amta alayhim? The ayah goes, and whoever obeys Allah and the Messenger, those will be the ones upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed favor of the prophets, the steadfast affirmers of the truth, the martyrs, and the righteous, and excellent are those as companions. So the same word has been used here. In Surah An-Nisa, it says, An'am Allah. Allah, you have rewarded them, or bestowed the favor upon them. So it means the same thing. Okay? An'amta. So who are they? The description isn't in Surah Al-Fatiha. The description is over there in Surah An-Nisa. So who are they? The prophets, the truthful ones, the Siddiqeen and the Shuhada. The prophets, the truthful ones, Siddiqeen, the Shuhada, who are the martyrs, and the Salihin. Salihin are the good-doing people, the good, righteous people. So the prophets, Siddiqeen, Shuhada, Salihin. These are the best companions, the best friends. Whose path do we want? The path of the prophets, Ya Allah. Show us this path and teach us and help us along this path and get us to our destination. We ask for the path of the Siddiqeen. What is Siddiq? It is the truth. The Siddiqeen, the truthful ones, they are truthful with Allah and they are truthful with the people. People in whose words there is no deception, there are no lies, no tricks, no half-truths. They live a truthful life. And who is the greatest truth-teller? Siddiq al-Akbar, Abu Bakr Siddiq. Shuhada, there are two meanings of shuhada. There is one meaning that we already know, the martyrs, those who gave their life for the sake of Allah. The second meaning is the people who gave witness to the truth. Okay, who are they? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained in Surah An-Nisa that these people are those who are the scholars. The scholars are the ones who give witness to the truth. They are included in the martyrs. And the dalil, or the proof for this, is in Quran. It is not that anyone can define this. Okay, we can't just get up and make definitions of Quranic terms. There is proof for this in the Quran. شَهِدَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives witness that He is alone. The greatest witness is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's witness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave His witness, and then He mentioned in this ayah, and as well as this, the witnesses are those of the people of ilm. So in Surah Al Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولُو الْإِلْمِ are also giving witness that there is no God, but Allah, Surah and this is in Surah Al-Imran, ayah number 18. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself is a witness, the angels are witness, and the ones with knowledge, meaning the scholars, are shuhada. So the path of the shuhada is the path of the ulama al-haq, and the path of the salihin, the people who are good, they did good deeds and earned Allah's reward through this. Oh Allah, show us their path. And the reason these people are in the past is because they have done everything. Their case is closed and they are gone. They are done. They did it. They made it. They left this dunya. They stayed on the right path until their last moments. These people are the people who are still in the dunya. We can't say about these people that they are the people who fall under because they are still here. And we don't know about anyone who is still alive, whether or not they will make it to the end and stay on the Sirat al-Mustaqim until their last moment. Along with this, there are two paths that we have to seek protection from and stay protected from. There are many, but they all fall under these. Yes, so that's the next part. So we ask for one path, but seek protection from many. غير المغضوب عليهم. So not the path of those upon whom wrath was done. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say غضب الله. Rather, Allah said مغضوب, upon whom wrath was done. Whose wrath did they earn? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath, the angels, and from the humans as well. So wal and الضالين, those who go astray, they are the ones who lost the way. Now, who were these people? Immediately, people say the Jews and the Christians. This is true, however, if it was only the path of the Jews and Christians, then that is what would have been written here, not the path of Yahud and Nasara. Those would be the words, right? But it says Maghdub and Dhalin. So everyone who walks in the same path as them will be Maghdub and Dhalin, whether they are actually Jews or Christians or not. When we said that the Yahud are Maghdub, we found the Dalil in the Quran. Okay, غضب الله عليهم. This is how we know that Allah's anger is upon the Yahud. And when Allah's anger is upon someone, the angels are also angry, and the other makhluk as well, the other creation as well. Now the Christians are lost. Why are the Nasara lost? Because the path of Isa alayhi salam, they went off that path of Isa alayhi salam. They went in another direction. So what is it about them? And is it specifically about the Christians? Again, no. It is not them specifically, but anyone who does the same work. So what was that work? What did the Jews do that made them maghdub? There are many reasons, but the main reason was that they had knowledge, but they didn't act with amen upon that knowledge, right? With actions. They had the Torah, and they had the truth. They didn't act upon the Torah. What did the Christians do? The Christians didn't have the knowledge, but they did the work. They were passionate about their work. They wanted to work. This is why they went into monasticism, Rahbaniya. They weren't getting married. They gave up and abandoned all the pleasures of the world. If we look at their priests and look at their nuns, they're all sacrificing so much. They abandoned the world and are immersed in worship. But this wasn't the path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed. They did it themselves. Why? They didn't have knowledge. They just had a passion for amal, for action. So they became lost. So what did one group have? And Ustazah wants us to write this down. One had knowledge, but no amal. And the other had amal, but no knowledge. So one had knowledge, but no action. And the other had action, but no knowledge. So these are the two paths that we don't want for ourselves. When we start working without knowledge, what does that look like? Oh, my friend called me and, you know, she said this, so you just start doing what she said. Or you read, you know, she's like, oh, read 20 adzah and, you know, this and that will happen. And so you follow that. Or then you read something on the internet and then you start doing that. Then someone sent you something on WhatsApp and then you start doing that. Now someone might say, oh, but my intention is really good. Okay, but our intention might be really good, but it may not be the right thing to do. If we look at the Christians, they gave up on marriage. They gave up the pleasures of this world. They had really good intentions, but that's not right. Good intentions are not sufficient, not until the amal or the application isn't right. Someone might say, you know, I'm eating haram food, but my intention is really good. You don't know. You don't know, but I know. Now, this won't make that action good. So the first thing we learn is that we need to seek knowledge. The second thing that we learn is not to do, the second thing that we learn not to do is that we acquire ilm, but there is no action. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Jumu'ah that the parable of these people is like the donkey carrying books. What does the donkey know about what it's carrying, isn't it? It doesn't know what treasures it carries. It doesn't know the difference between it carrying dirt or books or whatever have you. All it knows that it is carrying a burden. And that is the parable for them. They became maghdub, the Yahud. مَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ, because they had ilm but they didn't act upon it. So if we acquire knowledge, we are now, like we are now, on this journey of Qur'an, if we acquire it but don't practice it, this makes the heart hard. And when the heart becomes hard, then nothing affects it. And the person becomes liable for the wrath. So it is not for us to brush this off and say, you know what, this is just for the Jews and the Christians. We don't need to worry about this. No. Whoever learns knowledge and doesn't practice can become maghdoob. And whoever does practice without knowledge can become dhalim. So we have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this every day, in every salah. But in our lifestyles, we are just like the Jews and Christians. Our ways of life, our eating, our drinking, the way we dress, in every way, we copy them. It's one thing to dress like someone, that's different. But to copy someone in every single way, and our efforts are just to become like them, what is that? Yet in our salah we are saying, oh Allah, don't make us like them. We need to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only guide that person who wants guidance. If we simply claim that we want guidance, but we have no intention for it, if someone thinks that this path is, you know, too hard or too strange or too weird, too uncomfortable, we look uncivilized, we look extreme, I don't want to look like an uncivilized person, I don't want to look like an extremist person, I don't want to look backwards. Many people, Muslims today, they love that other way of life, the other lifestyles, the other habits, their worship, right? They love the Jews and the Christians and their lifestyle and their habits and the way they worship. We say we don't want to be like them in this area and in the salah over and over. But then we are also doing everything exactly like them. If this is our attitude, you know, we said in the beginning, ihdina, what guidance will we receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Everyone loves the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everyone loves the Sahaba. But this is not what we are being asked. We're not being asked, do you love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do you love the Sahaba? Everyone loves the Sahaba. What is being asked here? Do we love the path that they followed or not? How much do we love that path? Do we love that path so much that we are standing and asking it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over and over in every salah? Do we love it that much or not? First we have to look within ourselves, then we have to find out what path that is, or is it just lip service? Because when we are told to read Surah Al-Fatiha, we recite it and read it like a parrot to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listen. We learn the words and we parrot them out, but do we really ask for it? Do we really want to walk the right path of the Sirat al-Mustaqim, or do we want to walk the path of the Maghdoob and the Dhalim? Astaghfirullah. Unfortunately, in real life, this is what is true. This is how we live our lives. This is what our actions tell us. There is so much depth in this. Let's think. What we are studying, what are we asking? We need to decide what we want. Ustaza says, you need to decide what do you want. Only when we decide it, that's when it will come from our hearts. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, sirat al-mustaqim. If we are still confused and we still want this path and that path, we want their path because it is the latest thing, because everyone follows it, it's trending, what will the people say about us? Those people who passed were really good people. Subhanallah. But back in those days, they could do it, I can't do it. You know, if this is the, you know, if these are the words that are going on behind our minds, if this is the attitude, then, you know, we have to think, what do we really want to do then? We need to ask, what do we need to ask for? What do we want to ask for? Right? When we mean it, that's when it will come from the heart. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make us walk along this path. And our efforts will come through as well. We will do the work as well. When a person makes dua, they make the effort too. They don't just sit there with their hands folded. When Yusuf alayhi salam was being called by the wife of Al-Aziz, he didn't simply make dua and say, you know what can I do? Or like, you know, she's calling me. No! He ran towards the door. He did make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help him and save him, but he also took action by himself. So what about us? Do we take action? Do we even make dua? We need to understand the path of the an'amta alayhim. Quran will teach us. And as we go along, this is what we will learn. We will learn about the different paths. What is Sirat al-Mustaqim's path? What path is it that the path of the Maghdoob and the Dhalin followed? We will learn as we go along from Quran. So this is a dua that we make for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from being Maghdoobi alayhim. And we have to make an effort. In the next surah, we will learn about the Maghdoobi alayhim, what dua to make and how to protect ourselves. Then, in Surah Ali Imran, we will learn about the Dhalin and the path that they took, the path that the Christians took. What path did they take and what were the mistakes that could be made in that path? In Surah An-Nisa, we will learn the path of the An'amta alayhim. So Quran will teach us as we go along in this journey, as we go ahead. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fix us, to help us, and to help us through the destination. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us until our last breath and keep us on the Sirat al-Mustaqim and protect us from other paths. Now in the end, and we will finish with this, we say Ameen. What does Ameen mean? Ameen means may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this. So whatever we have said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it. When the Imam says it, we say, Ya Allah, what the Imam has said, this is from myself as well. So I'm saying the same thing. Oh Allah, accept it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that when the Imam says this, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَالضَّالِّينَ, then you should say, Ameen, true. Why? If you're saying Ameen and the angel saying Ameen, join, then your previous sins will be forgiven. So we learn that even the angels say Ameen at the end of the surah. So we have made this dua. Ameen comes at the end of a dua. So we should take it as a dua. We should make dua, knowing that in fact it is a dua. And we close here. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.